Welcome to Tardi Macha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Tzivi Zuckerman, and today we will be studying Malachim Bet, Parak Yud Gimel, Chapter 13. In the last two chapters, we focused on Malcha Yehuda, and the story of Yehoash of Yehuda, his restoration of the Beit HaMikdash, and ultimately his failure to utilize an amazing opportunity. He had the chance to orchestrate a spiritual revolution in Malcha Yehuda, to create a society that would serve as a light unto the nations and actualize man's destiny in this world. We will continue to trace the implications of this failure in the upcoming Prakim. In this parak, the story shifts back to Malchut Yisrael, which at this stage of the process of Jewish history does not have the opportunity that exists in Malchut Yehuda. The opportunity that is available to the kings in Malchut Yisrael is much more limited in scope. The kings of Malchut Yisrael, at their best, can obey God and direct the people to obey his will in order to avoid the inevitable consequences that going against God's will brings in the long run. We last discussed Malchut Yisrael in Parak Yud, Chapter 10, where we saw that Yehu destroyed Beit Ahav and the Baal in Malchut Yisrael, and was rewarded with the continuation of his family dynasty for four generations. In this parak, we see the continuation of Yehu's dynasty as he was promised by Hashem. However, although he was rewarded for his destruction of Beit Ahav, Yehu did not get rid of the Eglei Yeravam, the golden calves of Yeravam, which locked Malchut Yisrael into its downward spiritual spiral. Despite its good beginnings, Yehu's descendants were evil kings. In this parak, we will discuss the reigns of his son, Yehoahav, and his grandson, Yehoash of Yisrael. We will begin to see the Schar Va'onesh, the negative spiritual consequences for their negative behavior, playing out. This parak also discusses Elisha's final moments and last interaction with a king of Malchut Yisrael. Beginning our story, we are told that Yehu's son Yehoahaz continues in the ways of Malchut Yisrael. We clearly see the Schar Va'onesh playing out as a result. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, states clearly, Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. Hashem was angry with Yisrael. Vayitnem b'yad Chaza'el melech Aram, u'b'yad ben Hadad ben Chaza'el kol hayamim. And he repeatedly delivered them into the hands of King Chaza'el of Aram, and into the hands of ben Hadad, the son of Chaza'el. As we've said before, the mention of Chazal's attacks on the Jewish people always follows poor spiritual behavior on the part of the kings. In this particular case, it appears that Yehoahaz does some degree of tshuva. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4 states, Ve'echal Yehoahaz et pnei Hashem. Ve'Yehoahaz pleaded with Hashem. Ve'eshma elav Hashem, and Hashem listened to him. Ki ra'a et lachatz Yisrael ki lachatzu tam melech Aram. For he saw the suffering that the king of Aram inflicted upon Israel. Abarbanel explains that the word Vayichal indicates that he prayed, with the recognition that the suffering was from Hashem. Since he recognizes God's hand, he merits some degree of salvation in the form of a Moshiach, a savior, who saves them from Aram, in the person of his son and successor, Yehoash. However, Yehoahaz, like all of his predecessors, still maintains the Eglei Yeravam and idolatry as well in Malchut Yisrael. Therefore, the salvation that he does get from Aram only arrives after most of his army has already been decimated. Radak explains that Yehoahaz became ill in the last 2 years of his life, and his son Yehoash took over as king, serving as the savior mentioned earlier by successfully defending Malchut Yisrael against Aram. This is a different Yehoash than the king of Malchut Yehuda, who renovated the Beit HaMikdash. Please refer to the family tree in the Nachyomi weekly email to minimize confusion. We will see that Yehoash of Yisrael, like his father Yehoahaz, exhibits some positive spiritual behavior, but not quite enough. Let's discuss the story of Elisha's last interaction with the Melech Yisrael, with Yehoash, before his death, and evaluate Yehoash's behavior. In Pasuk Kedalid, verse 14, we encounter Elisha, whom we haven't heard about in a few chapters. Elisha has been the spiritual leader of the people for more than 60 years. Here, the verse tells us that Elisha was sick with the illness from which he was going to die. King Yehoash of Israel comes to visit Elisha while he is ill. He addresses Elisha with the familiar phrase that we've seen before, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael Uparashav, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horses. This was the language that Elisha used when Eliyahu was taken up to heaven. Rabbak explains that Yehoash was referencing the idea that we've discussed before, that protection for the Jewish people comes from the Nabi's prayers, rather than from their military leverage or resources. It seems that Yehoash has humbled himself before the Navi, Elisha, and absorbed his message that material outcomes are the result of our spiritual behavior. Elisha therefore gives Yehoash an opportunity, says Das Sofrim, to prove that he has truly become humble and is willing to lower himself before the Navi, and by extension, before God. In Pasuk Zion, verse 17, Elisha tells Yehoash to shoot an arrow out of the eastern window toward Aram. Yehoash complies, and Elisha exclaims, Chetz tshuva l'Hashem, the Chetz tshuva v'Aram, an arrow of victory for Hashem, an arrow of victory over Aram. V'hikita at Aram ba'afik ad kale. You shall defeat Aram completely at Afik. Afik was the place where Malchut Yisrael had defeated Aram in Malachim Aleph, and Elisha is now telling Yehoash that they'll be victorious against Aram once again as a result of Yehoash's humility in relating to Elisha. However, Yehoash's test is not over yet. Elisha tells Yehoash in Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18, to shoot the arrows in his quiver into the ground. Rabbag explains that Elisha assumed Yehoash would follow through to the end and use up all the arrows in his quiver. However, perhaps shooting arrows into the ground seemed pointless to Yehoash. It was meant as a purely symbolic act, and it didn't seem to Yehoash to have such a concrete purpose. Radak explains that Yehoash just didn't take the whole thing so seriously. And so he shoots three arrows into the ground, and then he stops. Reacting to Yehoash's behavior, Elisha tells him angrily, if you had shot five or six arrows into the ground, you would have been able to completely destroy Aram. Now, since you only shot three arrows, you will only be able to defeat them three times, and you will not be successful in completely destroying them. Why did shooting fewer arrows make such a difference? The Das Sofrim explains that the deeper issue here is Yehoash's passion and dedication, or rather his lack thereof. While Yehoash complies with Elisha's instructions to shoot arrows, he does it half-heartedly and he really gives up too soon. To understand the significance of Yehoash's failure, remember that Elisha has just made a monumental promise that Yehoash will succeed in permanently neutralizing the Aramean military threat, which only recently had nearly destroyed the army of Malchut Yisrael. Yehoash should have been willing to comply with anything the Navi asked with enthusiasm. Elisha is appropriately angry because Yehoash, as the king and leader, has shown he is not worthy of completely destroying Aram. And as a result, the Jewish people will continue to suffer and be plagued by the threat of Aramean aggression. The parak concludes in Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25, with the fulfillment of Elisha's nevuah. Yehoash wins three battles against Aram, corresponding to the three arrows that he did shoot into the ground. This reprieve against Aram lasts through the reign of Yehoash's son and successor, Yeravam II. We see in this parak that Yehoahaz, who prays to God in crisis, and Yehoash, who addresses Elisha with respect, both take steps toward tshuva. As a result of these behaviors, Malchut Yisrael merits to be saved from Aram while at the brink of its army's destruction. But sadly, Yehoash, in his half-hearted shooting of only three arrows, can't bring himself to care enough for his actions to merit a complete salvation. This military success against Aram, and the economic success that accompanies this peaceful respite, will be the last time Malchut Yisrael is given a chance for tshuva. If they lose their last chance, they will consign themselves to a fate worse than exile, lost as a part of the Jewish people, remembered only as the stuff of legends about the 10 lost tribes. Let's try to learn from the monumental impact of Yehoash's lack of conviction and enthusiasm. We do so many good things in our lives, davening, mitzvos, chesed. Let's take one thing that we do already and try to do it with a little more passion, putting more of our heart into it. When we put our heart into actions that we already do, we bring our whole selves into the action, helping us connect to what we're doing more fully and more meaningfully. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi nishmas Frida bat Moshe Eliyahu.